What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Haunted Cafe. Ooh. Episode four. We're going to keep trying that until we can't no more.
Honestly, if I remember, I want to do it every single time.
Well, I thought you said after like episode 10, you wanted to go back to Dracula. Or Count Dracula? Count? What was it?
The Count from Sesame Street. One. Two. Sound like the dad jokes. When he's walking away.
Oh, yeah. Slash All right. Yeah, well, today, this episode, by the title that you saw, we're going to be talking about Bigfoot.
The big old footy guy.
And this is probably going to be part one of who knows how many, because there are so many stories.
Yeah, this is Bigfoot. Possibly going to be one of the longest podcasts that she does.
So we're going to, this is part one. There's definitely going to be a part two, but I don't know if there's going to be more after that.
Yeah.
It's like I said, there is so much going on with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So.
Several different stories, several different locations, millions of sightings.
Well, anyway. Well, so Alan's going to talk about the tea that we're drinking today.
Yeah. So today we have from Teas Around the World. I believe we mentioned that before. I think the last time we tried Japan's lemon honey green tea, this time we're trying China's pomegranate green tea, and this is green tea with artificial flavor, so there's no pomegranate actually in it, it's just...
Green tea with
artificial with pomegranate stuff. Flavoring, just pomegranate powder pretty much. Yeah. And I got it to proper temperature, and now we're going to try it out and see how it tastes.
We might need to let it sit for a little bit.
Well, but... it says to let it steep for about... 2 or 3 minutes, that's hot. What does it say? It says, let cool for 20 seconds and enjoy. Steep for 2 to 4 minutes, let cool for 20 seconds. So it's been about 4 minutes, so you want to try it?
We can.
With it being hot?
Yeah. And when we first pulled the packages out, or whatever they're called, the little bags, it smelled like bubblegum.
Yeah, it kind of tastes like bubblegum. It's hot, like I said. Yeah, it's hot. It kind of tastes like bubblegum a little bit. I couldn't really get too much of a taste because I burnt my tongue. So there's that. Yeah, it's hot, isn't it? I told you.
It's hot. We're going to let that sit for a little bit. Yeah, we're going to let that
cool, and then we're going to...
We'll try it later. Into the episode.
I'm going to put this tea box away since I'm done reading it. And then we still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more teas to go through with this. So. Loud. All right, you ready?
Yep. So, there are... going to be starting by talking with Bigfoot about like Native American stuff first. So if I butcher any pronunciations on stuff,
I might be able to help you with it.
I'm so sorry. I can't even speak English 90% of the time, so speaking on other languages, not my strong suit. But okay, so we're gonna start talking about Bigfoot. Depends on who you ask as to, you know.
Sasquatch or Bigfoot or Yeti. Or
Abominable Snowman is also linked to him, too.
Abominable Snowman, yep.
Big
hairy ape man.
So Bigfoot, aka Sasquatch, is a large hairy humanoid that some believe to live in the northwestern U.S. and western Canada. So northwestern is like Washington State, Montana, California has some, like that. Up and over. The name Sasquatch comes from the Salic. It's S-E-S-X-A-C.
Sasak.
Sasak, like, meaning wild man. He also seems to have a relative in the Himalayas known as the Yeti. So like we were saying. Yeti, Abominable Snowman. Sasquatch and then Bigfoot. They're kind of all related as one big...
Wasn't there a story about, like, aliens and Sasquatch or something like that?
We're going to get into that part two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because part two is more... So this is more so about, like, the sightings and stuff like that. Part one is. Then part two is more about, like, what people believe he is.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to take out this tea bag without burning myself. See if I can get it. There we go. Hey, aww. Hey, there we go. I gotta squeeze it, though, which sucks. Ow.
He's burning his fingers because he won't leave it alone.
Ow. Shh. I got this. Ow. Ow. Oh! Okay, that was a little too hard. All right, there you go. Go ahead, sorry.
So, like I said, we're going to talk about Native Americans first. Basically, they're, like, traditions, not traditions with them, but like their stories. Mm-hmm. Natives almost all believed Bigfoot is a non-physical creature.
Really?
Yeah. Some Indian tribes mention that they have seen the creature transform into a wolf.
Like a skinwalker almost.
Yeah, kind of. Or like shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Others think this creature lives in another dimension from the physical plane, but can come here as it pleases. Which kind of makes sense with why it disappears.
Yeah, it can disappear, come back, and we can never really find any, like, hard-earned evidence.
Yeah, that's probably why we've never found any, like, bodies or anything.
Yeah.
Some also believe that he has psychic abilities, as some reporting show the creature can be visible to some people while hidden to others.
Hmm.
So, like, me and you could be standing there staring at him. I could see him. You couldn't.
So he's like an alien.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm definitely talking about that part, too. Because that, to me, that makes so much sense. But anyway, so in 2018, the exhibit called Sasquatch, Ancient Native Perspective on the Mysterious Being of the Woods. Long name.
Yeah.
that choked me up a little bit, actually. It's located in White River Valley Museum in Washington. Mm. It uses only ancient histories retold by living tribe members or found in the recorded ethnographies. Probably said that wrong. But it's a specific kind of written observational science, which provides an account of a particular culture, society, or community. It's basically where someone goes out and actually lives with that society,
mm-hmm.
and lives with the locals, learning their ways of life, and so that's basically what those ethnographies are. So that's how they got a lot of that research, was actually going and like living with the Native Americans in that.
Oh, okay. Area. Pretty much how we pretty much learn their cultures by living mm-hmm. with them for a little while to get used
and
to
seeing,
their...
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
I lost my spot. The museum didn't want to use personal experience. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Didn't really want to use personal experiences for the, what's it called? Yeah. Sorry, we're trying to figure stuff out real quick. But yeah, so the museum didn't want to use personal experiences, more so just the legends themselves.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want people to, one, they didn't want to have false accounts. So like if someone...
Made up a story.
Yeah. Yeah. Made up something or thought that they saw Bigfoot, but it was really just a bear.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They wanted actual recorded documents, basically.
I understand.
So yeah. Which, you know, is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. An anthropologist named Franz Boas recorded the daily activities of tribe members along with their stories. He charted, which, you know, put side by side, the folk tales, noting the similarities. So basically he went to like a couple different tribes and wrote down like their legends and stuff, and then compared all the, you know, like all the different base points.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we do with aliens now.
yeah, like what some people
we go to different cultures and figure out what they see as aliens, what they represent as aliens, like the ancient Egypts and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. And also like getting people's experiences too.
Yeah.
Like this person's experience and then checking out this guy's experience and comparing. And a lot of the times these two people don't know each other, but their stories are very similar.
I can imagine.
Yeah. he believed that the tales spread from group to group like a common language, but with variations.
Hmm.
So, you know, and I mean, they're all relatively in the same area, so they might have spotted this creature, but the creature might have, like, done different things, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, some of the creatures that are included in the Sasquatch Museum, I basically just mainly focused on this museum because that seemed to be where like a lot of the information was.
Okay.
But some of the creatures are the Zookwa. It's Zookwa. I can't pronounce that. Sorry.
Zookwa. I think it's Zookwa.
Zookwa.
That's what it sounds
like.
It's
got like a D in front of it, yeah. So that's why
the
I was
D,
like
the D's probably silent.
Yeah.
So it's Zookwa.
Who is a forest giant that lives on Vancouver Island. She is covered in dark hair and speaks in a quavering voice through pursed lips. So she's like, you know, I don't know if it's like cold or if she's just like scared.
Yeah.
But, which to me, you're a huge giant. Why are you scared? But who knows what happened, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like who knows with her past? Because that's all that it talks about.
Well, I don't know if you're going to mention this later on either, but one of the things that people think happened between the whole connection between aliens and Bigfoot is that the aliens were actually testing on the Bigfoot people, and Bigfoot is literally considered the missing link, and what aliens did is they combined genetics between them and Bigfoot to create us. That's what is going on, like, around the world right now. That's, like, one of the main stories.
All right, I guess we don't need a part two.
No, I'm just kidding. Wow, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just joking. We're gonna get into that, but that's basically what part two is gonna be about.
That's probably why she would sound scared. It's understandable. You're being hunted down by whoever mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it also says children who wander outside at night may get snatched by this creature, who just might cook them and eat them, or just raise them as their own. So you could go either way.
Yeah.
Which is like,
if I try raising you, and you're being a little dick, guess what? I'm going to eat you.
Yeah. Yep. Another creature is actually called the Sasquatch. Muckleshoot tribe members, which I hope I didn't say that right. Or I hope I did say that right.
I hope I didn't say that right. Screw those guys.
I hope I pronounced that right. Muckleshoot tribe members would not speak of the Sasquatch. They believe doing so would bring one to you. They are human-like, covered in fur, and over 7 feet tall, with 20-inch-long footprints. So they're big, big men and women.
Yeah, big things.
Yeah. They can render humans unconscious with just one touch, and are known to steal dry fish and women.
Oh, wow.
So,
Mr.
Steal Your Girl.
Mr. Steal Your Girl, Bigfoot. It's Mr. Steal Your Girl. You see that in the background.
Jesus. Also, don't whistle at night, because that's how they communicate.
Oh.
Yeah, which I found interesting because... Oh, no, that was something else. I was going to say, which I found interesting because primates actually... I thought primates whistled to communicate, but they don't. They actually hit, branches on trees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they also... Bigfoot has also been reported to do that as well.
Yeah, they had a few documentaries on the History Channel about that, with people going out looking for them.
Mm-hmm. And they were banging on trees and stuff, trying to communicate. Yeah, they were banging on
trees, making noises, whistling, mm-hmm. stuff like that, trying to attract them.
Yeah, so there are two other creatures that are mentioned. Also the Slapu. It's S-L-A-P-U. I know it's...
Slapu.
It's like slap you, but...
Slap you, son.
Yeah.
But... I'm part of the Slapaho tribe.
Wow, you're so messed up. So the Slapu, it's a hairy ogress that was also called Snail Woman. She is known to take children too. There are also the Stick Indians. They are tricksters who steal salmon, tools, and other items, but they will eventually return and bring their stuff back.
Okay, how are you going to return a salmon after stealing it?
I don't think they mean that.
Okay. I was saying, do you eat it and return the bones? Like, dang, you don't know what happened.
They will not harm anyone unless they are attacked. Yeah. So, which kind of describes a lot of the Bigfoot sightings, is that they've never hurt anyone that I know of.
Yeah. At least they've tried scaring them off, but they've never actually gone after them.
Yeah, they don't attack. They don't, like, hurt people. They just kind of scare you away.
They're gentle giants.
Yep. In the 1800s, an 1800s Squamish man believes that there are no wild men left. They weren't killed off, they became civilized, quote. I'm not going to name the man who said this, just because I don't know if he really wants his name to be brought up a bunch, because his name was in the actual article, but I just, you know.
All right, well, let me see.
What?
Where's his name at?
I didn't pronounce it. I didn't write his name.
I was going to say, we could just call him, like, Ernest or something.
Yeah. I just didn't, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He has his name in the actual article that I read, but I didn't want, you know.
Yeah.
So, he also said, some of our own people had them as ancestors. One of my cousins had a sharp face and was a terrible man, and that was because he was part wild man. So, he's even referring to the Native Americans, like, way back when, like, doing the deed with Bigfoots.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, you know.
See, I mean, if you're a brave woman or a brave man, you see something that's interesting. It's just like when aliens come down, they're not going to be clapping our cheeks. We're going to be clapping theirs.
Jesus. Why are you going back to like the alien or the Area 51? I can't talk. You got me Area all flustered. Area 51. The Area 51 thing.
All you're going to hear in the woods at night is beep, beep, ba, ba. Stop. Anyway.
Alright, so another Squamish, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's S-U-Q-U-A-M-I-S-H.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Squamish. Yeah.
A Squamish elder, Ellen George, said that her grandmother was a small girl when a wild man entered their home one night to steal fish. So they captured him and actually kept him.
Oh, wow.
Quote, he used to go hunting, and in a short time he would come back with a deer with its neck broken, even though he didn't have weapons.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yeah. The people kept him for a while, and then they let him go. So, yeah, like, yeah. You know. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know why you would keep him for a little bit and then let him go.
Yeah, that's almost like the movie that came out, I think, in the 80s. It was, like, Henry or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Henry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, Henry and the Hendersons, where they kept, like, I'm assuming what was Bigfoot.
I think something like that.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I just don't know why you would, like, keep him for a little bit then let him go. Why don't you just let him go, you know?
Maybe they just wanted to see if they could communicate.
Maybe.
Making babies, whatever.
He did bring them food and stuff, so.
Yeah. Kept him alive because they knew that he was a good hunter.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna do it. Send Henry out there.
Yeah, and then actually it says after that they would find a deer or two with its neck broken in front of their doors in the morning. Nice. So, like, yeah. So as a treat, the people would hang fish out for him, only for it to be gone in the morning. After that, no worries. They had no worries about being robbed.
Oh, wow.
So, like, it was kind of like the stick Indians where they would come steal stuff. Yeah. But, you know, if they left food out for him, they didn't have to worry about it.
Nice.
Yeah. So now we're going to jump away from, like, the Native Americans, and we're going to go into, like, the actual story, I don't want to say, like, white guy stories, but you know what I mean. Like, we're going towards the 1958, so we're kind of going towards when stuff started to get more developed, I guess.
Yeah. The modern story. More modernized.
Yeah, that's serious what I was trying to say.
White man.
Yeah.
So modern.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know what to say.
That's all right.
On August 27th, 1958, a bulldozer operator for a California logging company found an enormous human-length footprint in the mud. He told his colleagues about them, only to find out that they had seen some, too. The news of their sightings were published in a local newspaper called the Humboldt Times, and the headline was, Giant Footprints Puzzle Residents Along Trinity River. The article was published on October 5th, 1958. This story was also the first time the term Bigfoot was used.
Because it was big-ass feet.
Yeah. And the news of the Bigfoot spread like wildfire. Sadly,
like the ones in California. Sorry.
Yeah, the story takes place in California.
Oh, does it?
A lot of these stories take place in California. All right,
I'm sorry, guys.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. Like, oh, I have a twisted sense of humor. I apologize. Lord, I apologize for that. Jeez.
Anyway, the footprint, like, spread. Mm. Everywhere was hearing about these footprints. Mm. But sadly, after one of the man's co-workers died in 2002, so this is actually kind of recent, it was revealed by his children that it was all a hoax.
Of course.
That the co-worker actually had carved a wooden footprint and had stomped it around in the mud at the work site. Wow. So,
to mess with them, I guess?
Yeah, as like a prank. I think the children even said, like, yeah, this is totally something our grandson, our granddad, or whatever would do.
That's messed up, man.
Or his children, I'm sorry, so his father would do.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, it's, because that happened in 1958, and you have, like, all these stories and stuff come out, and in 2002.
Is when he says, like, oh, yeah, it was fake.
It's like 40 or 50 years later. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm like, man. So we're going to jump back a little bit in time. So in 1924, at the age of 31, Albert Ostrom, a lumberjack and a woodsman, went to the Tobaya Inlet in British Columbia, Canada, for a vacation. He had heard a lot about the wild beasts, man beasts, wild beasts, mm-hmm. that were in the area, but he didn't care. He didn't really believe in it.
It's a big hairy man pig.
Yeah.
Man bear pig, that's what it was.
Man bear pig?
Yeah, South Park. Man bear pig. You don't remember that?
No? Oh. No. Man bear pig. I was like, where'd you get pig? But yeah, so he didn't really care, didn't believe. He didn't, you know, he went out there anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was really camping or anything, but it does mention him being in a sleeping bag, so I'm guessing that's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he was in a tent or in a cabin. Don't know the full story, but what supposedly happened is he was picked up by a large Sasquatch and carried away still in his sleeping bag.
It's a human burrito.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, for the bears.
Yeah, for the bears. Yeah, yeah. Human burrito.
Yep. All wrapped up in his little sleeping bag.
Man, I don't know about you, but the cotton filling in this sack tastes really good.
Is it cotton? Real cotton? 100% cotton? Yeah, he was carried 3 hours away by this Sasquatch until they finally had reached a plateau, which is a high plain highland.
Plateau, yeah.
Yeah, consisting of flat terrain.
Hmm.
I described it, but you know what it is, so we don't have to keep going. Yeah. Standing around him was a family of 4 of the creatures.
Oh, well.
So, like, a mom, dad, and 2 kids.
Mama bear, Papa bear.
Bear.
Little bear and two other baby little bears. Bear and yep. other little bear.
Albert was actually kept captive by the creatures, and I there were 2 adults and 2 children.
Turns out it was Henry the entire time.
Yeah,
this is how it felt.
Yeah, right. This is what it felt being trapped there. I don't think he was trapped actually. Maybe at the beginning, but yeah. Maybe. Anyway. They held him captive for 6 days, and he said that he had a gun on him, but he didn't use it because they didn't really try to hurt him. Which I'm like, if you're captive for 6 days, like...
Maybe he was just curious, honestly. Maybe. He just wanted to know what actually was going on. Yeah, since they didn't hurt him, he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
He didn't want to kill him.
You know? And to me, it's like, you don't really have to shoot him to kill, but like, if they're scared, you could shoot it up in the air or run away or something.
Well, no, he probably didn't want to shoot one. And knowing him, he probably had like a shotgun or like a rifle, something it takes a little bit of time to reload.
Yeah.
So if he shoots one, and if it happens to not die, and then the other 3 come at him, he's dead. He's done.
Yep.
you better have a 6 shot with a .45 caliber bullet. Otherwise, you're done.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he didn't want to anyway, just because I didn't hurt him, which I get it. Just, you know, you're captive for 6 days. Like, at what point do you be like, all right, enough's enough. Like, I want to go home. You know?
Well, as long as they kept him fed, I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, and they did. One of the Bigfoots were at least 8 feet tall. They had fed him sweet-tasting grass. So I don't know if there's, you know. Finally, he made his escape by feeding the biggest Bigfoot snuff, which is like, you know, the tobacco that you shove in your lip or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It made the creature groggy. Which, don't know why, but...
Probably woozy. Like, made him like, you know?
Oh, maybe sick, yeah.
Yeah. Because I've had that happen to me before. My grandfather used to chew tobacco, and I accidentally drank some of his tobacco.
Drank the spit?
Yeah, it was gross.
I think I did that with my dad, too, yeah.
I don't even want to remember.
Right? Trauma. He didn't really want to tell anybody this story until, like, 24 years later, because he thought people would think he was a little crazy, which, definitely.
I mean, he's been gone in the woods for 6 days, got lost, starts making up stories, hallucinating to anybody, you know.
Especially you've been out there for 6 days, and then you come back talking about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was like a day or two.
Yeah.
But.
You'll never guess what happened to me. Nope. Yep. No, we won't.
Sorry.
Stop but, dying.
Huh?
I said stop dying. I said stop dying.
I was good till you told me not to. But yeah. So, as more and more Sasquatch stories, like, appeared, he decided to tell the story to the local newspaper, The Providence, in 1957. This part kind of puts up a lot of red flags, just because he just happened to come up with this story right as Bigfoot was becoming popular.
Mm.
Also, he kind of lacked any kind of evidence, which I get that, because a lot of people were kind of, like, criticizing
just making
him.
It. Yeah, a lot of people were probably just making it up at that time, too, so...
Yeah. But like I said, a lot of people were like criticizing him because it's like, oh, all these Bigfoot stories and you're just now deciding to come out with yours.
A little bit late to the party, ain't you?
Yeah. That was kind of like, that was like their main thing. And also, no evidence. I mean, you know, if you had gotten some fur or something. I mean, even that
can be like,
described away.
Yeah. It's just a monkey.
Do you like camping?
Yes.
Do you like Bigfoot?
Yes.
Do you want to go camping looking for Bigfoot?
Yes.
Well, then you should check out Budget Survivor.
Hi, guys. The Budget Survivor is a YouTube channel that I have where I'll be testing out different camping gear, survival gear, doing different survival challenges. I'm also testing out different camping food hacks on, like, trying it out over the fire, pretty much, to see how it turns out.
Also recipes.
Yeah, recipes. We have a few camp recipes that I've done. I saw a few that we've come up with, a few that we've gathered from other campers who have done this. And one of the main focuses of my channel is going to be twisting. It's going to be twisting stuff. It's going to be testing like different camping gear, rain gear, survival gear, food gear, water gear, whatever. And pretty much it's dehydrated foods, MREs, cookware, bottles, knives, axes, hammocks, tents, chairs, cots, rain gear, winter gear, summer gear, survival.
Did you say rain gear?
No, I said rain gear.
Oh.
Let me start over. No. Rain gear, winter gear, summer gear, survival gear. I'll have some food ideas. I'll be testing out some primitive tools because I used to do that when I was younger, try and make like axes out of stone and stuff like that. I'll be taste testing some of the instant coffees for camping, which I know a lot of people like. And I'll be making little mini charcoal grills, making like a hobo stove. I have a few survival challenges that I'm going to do, like the $100 Walmart survival kit for 7 days. It's probably not going to be 7 days because it might be. I don't know. It depends on how popular the channel gets. We don't have 7 days. It depends on how popular the channel gets. But yeah, and I'll be testing out different gear from other places. I have a bunch of gear that I already got to do. So, yeah, check out the channel if you guys ever got a chance. It's a Budget Survivor on YouTube.
Yep, Budget Survivor on YouTube. Thanks much. And we're back. Thank you guys so much for going through that little ad break. Now, we're going to be talking about the most famous Bigfoot video to ever occur. Have you seen it at all, Alan?
I remember seeing it a while ago. With him, like, is it the one where he's, like, walking, then he looks back at the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does the mom pose. He does the
pose, like, and then he keeps going.
Yep. Yeah. That's the one. Okay. Mom pose.
Well, then, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yep. In 1967, the film now called the Patterson... I always want to say Gimli, but it's not...
You watch too much Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Like, the whole time I was writing
Gimli!
The whole time...
Have you seen Bigfoot?
Yeah. The whole time I was writing this, I kept saying Gimli, but it's actually Gimlin. So if I keep saying Gimli, just know it's Gimlin.
Yeah. And just know that Gimli will find Bigfoot, and he will capture him.
A little short guy with the big old
Bigfoot. Yeah, a big 8-foot-tall ape and a little tiny ape, because he's hairy. Yep.
Yeah. All right,
made in heaven.
Yeah. So the film, now called the Patterson-Gimlin film, occurred. The film was shot... Northern California, and is considered the most famous piece of Bigfoot evidence. I wanted to give a little backstory to who the men were who filmed it first, who filmed this.
Okay.
It's mainly going to be on Roger Patterson, because he's kind of like the main guy. He's the one that filmed it. He plays a big role in it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, Roger Patterson said he became interested in Bigfoot after reading an article about the creature, by Ivan T. Sanderson in a true crime or in a true magazine in 1959. I always want to say true crime when I see true. In 1961, Sanderson published his first book called The Abominable Snowman, Legend Come to Life. So even in 1961, he's focusing on this
Bigfoot was really popular for a while. He still is popular to this day. Yeah. It's crazy.
Not as much.
Nowhere near as much, but still, it's absolutely nuts.
Yeah. And it was a worldwide survey of accounts of Bigfoot-type creatures, including recent track finds in the Bluff Creek area, which are the ones that I think we talked about just now, like the wooden prints. Yeah, the Bluff Creek area, which heightened his interest, because he was actually really close to that area.
Huh.
In 1962, he actually visited Bluff Creek and talked to a whole group of Bigfoot believers.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It'd be cool to watch a documentary on this.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a bunch of them out there.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if it was filmed, though. Well, does it say it was filmed? No, that one specifically.
Oh, no, probably not.
Oh, okay.
Even though he was a filmmaker, I don't think it was recorded.
Yeah, maybe.
In 1964, he returned and met a timber cruiser, basically a guy who goes out and surveys how many trees there are, what type of trees there are, and what like
wow.
if, how healthy they are and stuff like that.
Dang.
Yeah, which I didn't know that was a thing.
Neither did I.
But it's kind of cool. But yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. You have to go. Well, I mean, I don't know if he's like counting each one.
He probably is.
Or just looking around and be like...
Yeah, there's about 100.
Yeah.
There's about 50 here. There's only 3 over there. That's obvious.
Yep. But yeah, the guy was named Pat Graves, if that's my right. I can't read my handwriting.
Groves? Graves?
It's G-R-A, maybe a V-E-S.
it's one or the other.
Yep.
So Bruce, Groves, Graves, one of those.
Sorry, dude, but his name's Pat.
Yeah.
He drove him to a place called the Laird Meadows. There, Patterson discovered fresh tracks, and that just excited him even more. Quoting, "It was the most exciting, unbearable, spine-chilling experience," which I thought was kind of weird. Like, they go out looking, and he just happens to go to this meadow, and they just happen to find tracks.
Fresh tracks at that.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if this Pat guy...
Set it up.
Yeah, set it up.
He just like, did it smarter than the other guys.
To mess around with Patterson a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at this point in time, there are a lot of people on the fence. There are a lot of people that were like, Bigfoot's bullshit. Whereas other people were like, yeah, Bigfoot's real.
Yeah, he's so, probably like, man, this guy dedicated his entire life to figure out Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And I got to make him happy. I can't disappoint him.
Yeah. Like, right, I mean, yeah. But yeah, he really did, like, dedicate. So, in May, June of 1967, Patterson and Gimlin began filming a docudrama about cowboys being led by an old miner and an Indian tracker on a hunt for Bigfoot.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so
sounds
it's
like a Lone Ranger.
Kind of. So, it's a documentary, though, and he was filming it about finding Bigfoot.
Interesting.
Save that for later.
Okay.
The story...
Locked away.
The story had Patterson as the miner,
Gimli.
Yeah. Poor, yeah. Gimlin in a wig as the Indian tracker. So you already know that they're wearing costumes and
Can
stuff.
You imagine Gimli dressed up as an Indian tracker?
Oh, God.
The big ass red beard.
Yeah. And he's all short and like
chubby. YMCA. You know the reference to that?
No.
In the YMCA group, it was an Indian, a cowboy, a construction worker, and I think a police officer.
Oh.
And that's what they were doing.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so Gimlin in a wig as an Indian tracker, and the cowboys recanted flashbacks of the stories of Fred Beck, which I described earlier.
I don't remember describing it earlier.
I think I might have missed that. Anyway. We'll talk about it later, maybe.
Yeah, part two. We'll put that in there before
we start.
I'll
rate that.
Yeah.
I wrote that as like a note, and I forgot to go back. Jeez. But yeah, and other stories. So they basically were like telling tales of other people's encounters as they're riding horseback going to find their Bigfoot as they tracked it.
Wow.
Yeah. So at least 9 people were on this filming expedition, and it took 3 days, maybe over Memorial Day weekend. Patterson would have needed, he might have needed a Bigfoot costume to film certain scenes, depending on like how far the story went. Cause I don't know if it was ever like shown what they actually like recorded.
Yeah.
But depending on what scenes he needed, if they actually did find Bigfoot. If they actually did find him, then yeah, they're going to need a Bigfoot costume.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. In October of 1965, the same year as this documentary, Patterson and Gimlin headed out to the Six Rivers National Park, National Forest in Northern California. Patterson, Patterson said he chose this area because of the reports of the creature in the past and the Bigfoot prints being found there. So, like, a lot more prints, of course. Mm-hmm. And also maybe the fact that he was very, very familiar with the area that made them go there.
Very familiar with the area, huh?
Mm-hmm. There had been recent reports of a sighting in August, and this is October. So, and it was believed that Patterson's wife actually told him about it. Mm. So, even his wife's getting into it. But
everyone getting in on Bigfoot.
Yeah, so this was August, or the account happened in August, and now it's October. Mm. So, it's only a couple months away. Gimlin didn't actually believe that the Bigfoot stories, but he promised on this trip that he couldn't try he wouldn't try shooting one. So I guess, like, if they saw one, he had to make a promise not to shoot it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah. I don't know how I would feel if I saw a Bigfoot. I don't know if I'd be like, let me shoot it. Or I'm just running in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd probably run.
Yeah.
Because why hurt it, you know?
Yeah.
As long as it's not going to come after you and hurt you.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, in the afternoon of October 20th, 1967, they were riding generally northeast upstream on horseback along the east bank of Bluff Creek.
Bluff Creek, huh?
Bluff Creek. So, very familiar place. Sometime between 1:15 p.m. and 1:40 p.m., they came to an overturned tree with a large root system at a turn of the creek. Okay?
Yeah, T went down the wrong pipe.
T went down the wrong pipe.
Sorry, guys.
Ooh. But anyway, so, and this is quotes. They came to an overturned tree with a large root system and at a turn of the creek. When they rounded the tree, there was a log jam, which is a crowded mass of logs blocking the river, which I guess was left over from a flood in 1964. I don't know why that was relevant, but beavers. They made point to talk about it.
Beavers. Beavers are hairy. Yeah. Bigfoot was hairy.
Beats. Battlestar Galactica. That's what that's about.
Yeah.
And then they saw it. Both of them saw it at the exact same time. It was either crouching beside the creek or standing by the creek. They're not really sure, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Gimlin stated that he was in shock right after he saw the figure. They estimated the figure to have been between 6 feet tall to 6 feet 6 inches tall. So, not really.
That's pretty specific.
I wouldn't say not much of a difference, but, you know.
That's very specific.
I think Gimlin said 6 feet, and then Patterson went from, like, 6 to 8 feet. Like, he was, like, really dramatic with it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Whatever attracts people's attention.
Basically. Patterson said that they were about 25 feet away from the creature. He said that the horses reared up upon sensing the creature, and it took him about 20 seconds to get off the saddle, control the horse, and also grab his camera from the saddlebag, which just happened to be on the other side of the horse. So, like, took him a minute to get all this stuff done.
20 seconds is a very specific number.
Yeah, it is. And this is, like, mostly quotes.
Yeah.
You know, like, me talking about it. He yelled at He yelled at Gimlin to cover him.
This is just funny now.
Yeah, as he ran after the creature. So now he's saying, like, protect him. So, like, shoot if necessary.
Wow.
So, Gimlin crossed the creek on horseback, drew his gun to be ready to defend Patterson if anything happened. The figure had begun to walk away at this point, before Patterson had even begun running towards it. The film initially is quite shaky due to him running to catch up. Mm-hmm. At one point, the creature glanced over its shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and Patterson fell to his knees. Patterson would later describe the figure's expression as one of disgust and contempt. Quote, you know how an umpire tells you one more word and you're out of the game? That's how it felt. So basically, like, fuck around, find out.
Yeah.
You know? If this thing is actually a creature, it was telling him, like, back up. Yeah.
Put down that chocolate. I ain't buying you all that mess. Try me, bitch.
Yeah, so if it really was a creature, it was telling him, like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, the creature had turned back a total of 3 times. However, they would only be able to capture once. Like, capture the one turn.
Mm-hmm.
Then it disappeared, only to reappear once more as Patterson moved to a different location. And then Patterson's film finally ran out. So, like, because I didn't catch what camera they were filming on, but it's, you know, It's a very older one. Gimlin followed the creature on horseback for a bit until Patterson called him back. Which I was like, why'd you call him back if you guys are trying to find this evidence?
Yeah.
Unless you're trying to be safe, you know, not wanting to upset it more. The whole encounter lasted about 2 minutes. They tried tracking the creature further, which, once again, Gimli was tracking it. Why'd you... Gimli. Fuck me. Gimlin was tracking it, so why'd you tell him to come off, you know, like, back off if you wanted to?
Elf, do you have my back?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm upset at myself. Anyway, so Gimlin was already tracking it. What?
No, a theory just popped into my head just now. No,
let me talk.
Well, no, I mean, it's a number. It's more of a conspiracy theory than anything.
Jesus, what?
All right, so far the numbers have been 6, 20, and 3, right?
2.
You said he turned his head 3 times.
Yeah, he turned his head 3 times. Then there was 2 minutes for the whole encounter, 20 seconds for him to get off the horse.
Okay, so...
And I don't know what you're saying.
6 foot, 6 foot.
Oh, yeah.
So...
I'm ready.
3 2 times is 6. Mm-hmm. 2 3 times is 6. 20 divided by 6 is 3. This is a conspiracy theory.
Or maybe he was just guessing numbers.
Maybe. It's actually 3.33, but it's still 3.
3.33?
Well, 20 divided by 6 is 3.33333333.
Yeah, so it's still 3, though.
It's still 3. Yep. Conspiracy confirmed. Now you can't even think straight. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But so they tried to track the creature further, but they lost it. I'm burping now. Hold on. But they lost the tracks in the undergrowth. They did, however, go back to their campsite, grab plaster, and made 2 casts of the prints, and like it was one of each foot.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a right and a left.
Okay.
And then I put, to believe or not to believe, because there's a lot of coincidences that line up with the fact that, you know, Patterson, this could be all perfectly authentic, but then there's a lot more stuff saying that this is all bullcrap.
Like the numbers.
Sure, the numbers. Yeah. But mostly just the fact that, like, Patterson, like you said, spent his whole life trying to find Bigfoot, but then it's like, he found Bigfoot too much.
Yeah, and all within a week.
or like 1 year, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was 1967, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Patterson and Gimlin both denied that they had created a hoax. But in 1999, telephone interview with a TV producer, Chris Packham, for the BBC show The X-Creatures, Gimlin said that for some time... I was totally convinced no one could fool me, and of course I'm older now, and I think there could have been a possibility of a hoax, but it would have had to have been planned by Patterson. Hmm. So he's even saying maybe it was a hoax. David Dayling, an anthropologist, says that the more cynical skeptics see Patterson's luck as more than suspicious. You know, because like I said, he's seen Bigfoot a little bit too much, you know?
I don't mean to break from this, but
no, go ahead.
It's almost like that scene from Fallout New Vegas when you get to Vegas and there's that guy. Like, I wouldn't go that way. There's some pretty mean-looking guys over that way. And he's like, hire me to take you to this way and I'll get you there safe. And then, like, he gets there and he like, quote-unquote, kills them all, but they're still blinking. And you can't loot them. Yeah. Even though they're supposed to be dead.
So it's basically like, fate.
Yeah, and it's like you call him out and he's like, oh, you should keep that story to yourself, friend.
Like, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he sets out to make a Bigfoot documentary and then almost literally stumbles across the Bigfoot.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, people go paranormal investigating their whole lives, like Ghost Ventures. Yeah, they see stuff, but it's not literally the first time that you go out on a mission. Or, you know...
Unless you're Randonautica.
Yeah.
That YouTube channel. Is that what the YouTube channel's called?
Oh, no. Okay. That's an app.
Oh.
But well, anyway.
Okay. Well, still.
Anyway, yeah. So, literally, you go out for a documentary, and then you stumble across Bigfoot. But if you think... about it. I said, but if you think about it, Patterson only went where Bigfoot was known to be. Oh, my alarm. Sorry. But, like, he literally only
Wake
went...
Wake up.
It's 8:30 at night. It's not time to wake up, guys. But, yeah, so Patterson only went to these spots where Bigfoot was known. He didn't just go to, like, random spots. So I guess it's kind of makes sense that, yeah, you're going to see one because there's been so many sightings. Like, Bluff Creek has been, like, literally the topic of our conversation this whole time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said Bluff Creek was also the location of the well-known Bigfoot hoaxer Ray Wallace, which I think was the one that I talked about earlier with the steps or the wooden, you know, things. They were also said to have met once. So Roger Patterson actually met the guy that
did the whole hoax.
Yeah. So it's that, like,
would be the trope of his life if he could literally just fool this one guy into thinking his whole life's work is coming together, and it's really not.
Yeah. In 2002, a man named Philip Morris, owner of Morris's Costume Company, a North Carolina-based company offering costumes, props, and stage products, claimed that he himself made the gorilla costume that was used in the film.
Now you're taking credit.
Yeah. He has talked about his role in the film at all kinds of conventions in the 1980s, but he first addressed the public at large on August 16th of 2002 on a radio station. Yeah. He said that he was reluctant to expose the hoax earlier for fear of harming his company. Giving away performer secrets, he said, would have been widely regarded as disreputable, which definitely true. Mm. I mean, you know, you don't want to tell a bunch of people, I know, that's a fake show, I made that. Because then it's like, okay, well, you're spilling beans, I'm not coming to you next time for my next costume. Yeah, so that's understandable.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah. Morris's wife also claimed to have helped frame the suit. So it's not just him, it's also his wife.
Wow, everyone's involved in this, man.
I mean, it's like...
All the mess with this one guy.
I'm going to say, is the wife ride or die, though? Because, like, you said you did something. I'd be like, hell yeah, I helped that do that, too. Even though
Then again, I don't know, we've come across quite a few incidents where you always try playing the goody-two-shoe.
Anyway, we also have claims from the man who may have worn the suit. His name was Bob Hieronymus. He's got a really weird last name.
How do you spell it?
It's Hieronymus.
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 We're going to call him Bob.
Hieronymus. Heroin minus.
We're going to call him Bob.
Bob's Burgers.
Yep. He said that he had not come forward about his role in the hoax because he had hoped to be paid eventually. And he was also afraid of being convicted of fraud had he confessed. Mm. Which, you know, I mean, that's true. Because I don't know if Patterson actually, like, got any money or anything from it.
Yeah.
But if he had gotten paid, he could have been definitely caught up in the whole fraud thing.
Yeah.
I guess the guy talked to his lawyer and was told that since he hadn't actually been paid for the act, he could not be held accountable. Mm. He's kind of just was there.
Yeah, he was just there to witness.
He finally told the public around January 30th, while his lawyer actually released a statement. His name was revealed first, and then his acts were detailed. Like, they told the name first, and then said what he actually did.
Oh, okay.
I wrote that weird. There were a few testimonies to prove Bob was actually telling the truth. Bob's mother and his nephew both claimed to have seen the suit in his car. In fact, the mom reports that she saw the suit 2 days after the film was actually shot.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then Russ Bohannon, a longtime friend of Bob's, said that Bob told him about the hoax in 1968 to 1969, but, you know, it was kind of like sworn to secrecy.
Yeah.
And then also another friend, Bernard Hammermeister.
They got some weird freaking last names.
Yeah, they do.
I swear this entire thing is just made up.
Yeah, right? I mean,
these people aren't even real. This never actually happened. It was just some dude with a camera. Let him film this.
Yeah. He also claims to have seen the ape suit in Bob's car. The encounter came up long after the family stories, implying that it had stayed in his car for a while. Like, the suit was in there for yeah. I don't even know how long. Yeah. Now, while both Morris and Bob's story above put together proved, like, hey, this probably definitely was a hoax. However, both men, the one who made it and the one who wore it, both have actually different, completely different descriptions of the suit.
Hmm.
Like, you know, we'll get into it. First, Bob, which is the guy that wore it, claimed that Patterson said the suit was made from real horse hide. And he said that it weighed about 20 to 25 pounds. Pretty heavy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, horse hide, it's pretty yeah. heavy stuff.
Yeah, and Morris, the guy that made it, said that the suit was actually made from Dynel, I think that's how you pronounce it, which is a lightweight synthetic material with little to no odor. Because I think Bob had said that the suit really stunk, actually. Morris said that this was standard for his suits, because it was cheaper than the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So, right away, the difference in the materials is, yeah. you know...
exponential, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like completely different.
Completely. One's way heavier, and it's real skin, mm-hmm. whereas,
you the other know, one is just some sort of fabric.
Synthetic fiber, yeah. yeah. The second difference, Bob was told the horse hide was a real dark brown, and that Morris was using brown Dynel in 1967. But Morris wouldn't have used real dark brown, because that would have, like, kind of blended in with the woods.
Mm-hmm.
He said he just would have used a brown.
Yeah.
Which, what's the difference? But I guess,
well, I think really tree bark, because it's darker. Dark brown might have
been black,
maybe? Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So, he said that he used brown to actually contrast against black background for what the suit was actually used for, which is actually a girl gorilla. Yes, Bigfoot was a girl.
Hmm.
So, basically, what that suit was actually used for was for a girl that turns into a gorilla. And it was used for, like, circuses. You know, like, the hairy lady and, mm-hmm. you know, so... Big suit, the Bigfoot suit actually had titties.
Bigfoot titties.
Yeah, and they had hair covering them up and stuff. But yeah, so it was actually, the suit that Morris made anyway was meant to be a girl gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, so already it was, one was supposedly made out of horse hide while the other was made out of fake material. The second thing was that one was supposed to be, like, a really dark brown, whereas this one was just kind of, like, a medium brown, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The third difference is a top and pants versus a zippered onesie.
Hmm.
So Bob, once again, the wearer, just so we're not confused, described the suit with no metal pieces and an upper part, which he had worn like a t-shirt. At Bluff Creek, where the film occurred, he put on the top and he guessed it was cinch with a drawstring, so, mm-hmm. like, I guess the pants were, like, cinched.
Yeah, which was what they do with a lot of costumes nowadays, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah.
Too, that, what's that stuff? The stretchy stuff?
I can't think of what that's called.
It's not spandex, it's something else. Damn, the fucking strips.
Not nylon.
No, I
can't think of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, I keep wanting to say latex, but it's not latex.
It's stretchy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can't think of it. I keep being like, dang. Yeah. But Morris knows for a fact that he made a one-piece suit. Putting on a onesie would have been impossible to do as a t-shirt, obviously.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the fourth thing is Bob remembers the suit, hands and feet being attached to, like, the arms and legs.
Mm.
But Morris made the suit whose hands and feet were separate.
Hmm.
Many believe that Patterson actually modified the costume.
I was going to say, they probably yeah. modified it yeah. in a way.
Like...
to make it look a little bit more real, mm-hmm. I guess.
Like, he definitely probably could have cut the suit in
yeah,
half,
you could definitely cut it to... yeah, exactly. You know. Dye it. You can stitch the gloves on there. You can yep. do whatever the hell you want it.
Yeah, and attach the hands and feet to the suit, possibly dye the suit. Yeah. But no evidence was actually really found about that.
Hmm.
And just a little tidbit, like a little, you know... both Bob and Patterson, so... the main guy that filmed it, and also the guy that wore the costume, both took polygraph tests, and they both passed. So they both were telling the truth. Hmm. So Patterson told the truth that he didn't fake it, and that it was a real Bigfoot. And Bob actually told the truth about wearing the costume.
Well, I mean, a lot of people can fool. I was gonna say a lot of people can fool polygraph test. If you're confident enough in your answer and you know your heart's not going to race when you answer, you can fool the polygraph test very, very easy.
As long as you stay calm.
Yeah, collected. Stay calm, collected. Don't, you know, randomly don't jerk and, you know, don't do anything. Just stay still. You'll be able to pass it.
Yeah, so with all of that knowledge, like with the suit maybe being changed or even it not being a suit, do you think that what Patterson caught was a real Bigfoot?
No.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Because, well, for one, if Bigfoot's supposed to be elusive, he wouldn't have had that much evidence. And from what I was hearing, it didn't even really sound like they were trying that hard. They just happened to come across this. Yeah. They weren't doing any, like, actual scientific methods to find this.
No, they were just wandering.
He was over there by the creek branches I saw him. Oh, look, he's walking across the camera now. Like, it's just, it's too fake.
Yeah, and plus, like, the thing that gets me is that literally earlier that year, the same year, he was talking, he was doing a documentary about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't, it doesn't mention having a costume for that documentary, but that doesn't
mean
that he doesn't have
to.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that doesn't mean that he didn't have one.
Yeah.
And even, let's just say he started out with Morris's costume, with it, the one piece, with the arms, and, or the hands and the feet detached for that film, and then he's like, oh, well, I can't use this again because somebody's going to notice. So he literally, like, chops it up, changes it and stuff like that and creates a whole new suit.
Yeah, and honestly, he could have just made a whole new suit altogether had this guy think he was actually making the suit for the shoot when it actually wasn't and they actually wore a different one. So that way he has one story and another and it adds on to the mystery, which is typical Hollywood suspense.
Yeah, and they also talk about, like, bulking up the arms by having, like, football pads and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. So this guy, the Bob guy, he might not have even really felt the actual material of the suit.
Because the football pads, you can feel how heavy something is, but football pads take a lot of weight off. That's why you're able to hit people as hard as you can with it.
Yeah. And, like, Gimlin, I can't tell if he was a part of it or not. Because he, you know, he starts off saying, like, I'm not even a believer. I just went there just because my friend was going, you know, like as a protection thing. So I'm wondering if it was a whole hoax. They didn't tell.
It definitely was.
Like Patterson didn't tell Gimlin, so then he was like the most like hardcore evidence that you could possibly have is someone that actually fully believes it.
Especially if he talked to the guy who pranked him beforehand. Like, it's just,
well, it was a guy that pranked other people before.
Still, it's all you need. All you need is a group of pranksters, and you can literally make a movie.
Plus, if he went and met all those believers, so he got literally all these stories that he could sit and compile.
Yeah, and compile into one massive story.
Story.
Yeah. He'd take parts from it here and there and add on to it. He can add stuff if he wanted to, like.
But part of me is like, that's what you do as a researcher. You go and get all that information.
Yeah.
So it's not really that makes him suspicious.
He was doing what he, you know, normally does, but at the same time, he was using his research to his advantage to pull it off. So I think it was fake. I don't think it was real, because that's not concrete enough. Like, probably the reason why it's the most famous is because it was so fake that it was made to look real. That's why it's famous, not for the fact that it is real, because a lot of the real stories, quote-unquote, that people actually come up with aren't even fucking heard of now.
Yeah.
Like, that one story is the one that everyone always comes back to, no matter what. So it's like, this guy set it up, and he knew he was going to be infamous for it. Like, he knew.
Yeah, like, I feel like I believe that Albert guy, the one that got kidnapped, I feel like I would believe him more than I would believe.
And I've never heard of that story, so I've heard of the other one.
Well, like, plus, there's no evidence for it either.
No, like, there's not.
The dude happened to bring a camera on vacation, you know. Like, so
it's just the non-evident ones. If you're not prepared for something, if you're not expecting something, or if you're not prepared for something and something happens, it makes it more believable than if you were prepared for it. Then other people are expecting you to expect something to happen.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Well, like, it's like nowadays where people are filming these paranormal activity.
Yeah.
Like, I just saw a video today where some lady was filming her living room all perfectly done up. Her hair was really nice and stuff, playing with her kid in the middle of the floor, and then this random little sheep falls over.
Yeah.
If you hear a meow, it's our cat.
Hi, Voodoo.
Hi, Bobby.
But yeah, it's just, Voodoo thinks it's fake, too.
But, like, she just happened to be in the center of the camera space. The camera was pointing. Like, why do you have a camera in your living room?
Exactly.
It's not like it wasn't a security camera.
No, it was literally positioned a very specific way. Yeah. And also, you know, if you guys ever watch Corridor Digital or whatever, they literally just did a video not too long ago about debunking paranormal videos. Mm-hmm. And, like, literally this one guy had a camera set up on his cabinet. You could tell it was a cabinet because it sure as hell wasn't a security camera. And the direction that the knife was flying out of the drawer was directly in a position where the camera wasn't looking. Yeah. So it's like, come on now.
Yep. And this was kind of the same thing, whereas the lamb kind of, like, fell over towards, like, a couch. Yeah. So it was almost like a string was underneath the couch to where it pulled it. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
yeah, it's just
there are definite telltale signs of when stuff's not real.
Yeah.
One, you're not going to be recording it for the most part when it happens.
No, and if it does happen, you would be pulling out your camera, and by then you would either miss it or you would get it as whatever is happening is ending.
And I'm not saying that the Bigfoot isn't real, because I do believe Bigfoot's out there, but...
Cool. If we can ever get my mom on here, yeah. She can tell some stories.
I feel if you see these two guys, they're coming towards you. Most, like, deer and stuff like that, they don't stick around.
No, they don't.
And this...
You didn't have headlights on, so they're not going to freeze, you know?
This Bigfoot didn't, like... He didn't leave. He just stuck around to see what was going on.
Yeah, and there's a reason why Bigfoot is known for hiding. He's not just going to stay, hey, I'm just going to let these guys record me. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. And he kept turning around, supposedly. Yeah. So,
you're not going to look back. You're going to bolt the hell out of there so nothing happens to you.
Unless, like, he's used to seeing people. I mean, there's so many different things.
Even if you're used to seeing people, you don't,
stick around.
Yeah.
So, now that we're... Yeah. I still have so many questions and stuff like that, but... Mm-hmm. Check back for part 2, where we may or may not find out a connection between Bigfoot and aliens.
Yeah.
We kind of already hinted to it. Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. We already kind of hinted to it. And I also kind of hinted to it with the Native Americans, where they're talking about him possibly going to, like, a different dimension.
Other dimensions. Outer-worldly.
Yeah.
You know.
Which, that makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah,
but
it would.
We're definitely going to get into that, because that's kind of more so what I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that my opinion is, like, what you should believe and follow, but I like giving different points of view, so.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, thanks for watching. Make sure
listening.
Let me see YouTube.
Yeah.
Speaking of YouTube, we now have a Haunted Podcast YouTube. If you go onto YouTube and type in, I think it's The Haunted The Haunted Cafe, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to find it just yet. I do have a few videos up, but it's kind of
If you type in a very specific title right next to the thing, you should be able to find it a lot quicker.
If you type in any of these episode titles, you might be able to find it.
And then if you need to, go to the filters and change it to channel specifically, and then it'll you can narrow down your search that way.
Yep. And then we also have a TikTok now, where I'm basically just kind of doing previews for the next episodes.
Yep.
Not that you guys don't really get previews here, because we do talk about it.
Yeah.
But
this one gives photos, little quick, quick quips and stuff like that.
And I also ask questions, too. Like, recently I asked if you or anyone you knew had any kind of ghost stories. I haven't got any ghost stories yet, but if you see it, let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
If you're coming to the TikTok from the podcast, let us know, so that way we know how many people were actually listening to it and coming to the TikTok because of that. But if you're coming from the TikTok to the podcast, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. So we are going to have a part 2. I'm going to skip this next week to talk about the treasure of Deer Island in Mississippi, because I kind of wanted to take a little bit of a break from Bigfoot.
Yeah, and then there's like 50 million different treasure islands as well.
Yeah,
like we could make an entire series specifically dedicated.
Yeah, you didn't even know that. You thought there was
Thought there was only one treasure island.
Jeez. There's like, we could literally
just
so
make
many.
Yeah, we can make an entire series based off of just the treasure islands.
Like, but yeah, so that's next episode, and then we're gonna jump back to Bigfoot and finish up the part 2.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah, because that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm honestly really interested in hearing about the Treasure Islands, because I legit thought there was only the one.
No, there's like, quite a few of them, actually.
All right.
Well, now that you know all of our new news, thank you guys so much for listening. Please be sure to follow us on Spotify. And then go check us out on YouTube and TikTok.
Yeah, subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok. Hit all the things that notify you when we upload in every single media platform. Yep. And you'll be able to see when we do stuff.
Yep. And thank you guys. Yep. We'll see you next time.
Well, I mean,
I'm gonna say that's what I painted.
We won't see you, but we'll know you're there. We won't know you're there, but just take a look.
We know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Have a good one.
See ya.